Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, my name is Scott Atwood. I've hopped around a bit the past few years. I've lived in Florida. I'm originally from Massachusetts, lived in Denver for a while, and most recently I've been traveling quite a bit. I am in the direct-to-consumer e-commerce space. I have been for quite some time now. Initially built some apparel brands first, but got into some different brands and built a bit of a holdco. Sold a couple of those, and then now I'm doing some consulting with brands and companies, both on the marketing side, but some brands will have a product but not great e-commerce knowledge and whatnot, so they need a bit of that e-commerce consulting, and I bring somewhat of a business owner approach to it as well.
So how did you get into the e-commerce space in the first place?
So I was actually in finance and completely, I just didn't enjoy finance whatsoever and started building some brands. Really never expected it to be anything. And one day I kind of just grew the courage to quit my finance job. And right once I quit my finance job, my brands instantly had something like 10x the yearly revenue from when I was in my finance job, and I just never looked back. Started hiring people, and it was great. So very stressful, but at the same time, it's...
Well, I was just curious, in what year was this? When did you start?
When I quit finance, it was 2018. But even prior to 2018, I was still, doing some of my e-commerce brands and projects on the side. It just never was as material as, the past 3 to 5 years.
Makes sense. So what exactly was your first brand that you launched?
First brand. I honestly don't even... I had one that actually was a religious brand. It's a huge niche. I'm not super religious myself, but I was like, hey, this is a huge niche, launched a religious brand that did really well. But it was really just trial by fire, where it was almost, split testing brands, where it was, hey, let's, get $500 of product or a reliable drop shipping supplier, and then, give it a test. Get the first few $1,000s of revenue. If it works, continue to scale and bring revenue or bring inventory in-house from there. And it was kind of a trial by fire.
For sure. So I guess obviously now in 2024, e-com is very competitive. So I'm curious how have things changed? Or I guess how do brands differentiate themselves now compared to, 2018 or even before that?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a lot. Just 2020 itself was a glorious time for me. But any time before that, really. But these days, it's not as easy to take an ugly product or, ugly brand and kind of wrap it up and ship it off to customers. You have to really be dialed on, in multiple facets of your business. So you need a great product. Customer service is more important than ever, I would say. Shipping times are extremely important, but if you're not, at the end of the day, taking care of your customer and making them return, then it's really hard to build a business, because at the end of the day, you're going to pay an acquisition cost regardless for the customer. So you want them to have the best experience ever, because at the end of the day, I don't want to have to pay to acquire more customers. It's expensive. Ads are very expensive. Any type of marketing is expensive these days. So you want to make sure that you're getting the best lifetime value really from those customers and the best, AOV on that. Even
sure,
if it's just the first purchase, making the most of that acquisition cost.
But has your focus always been on direct to consumer, or do you do Amazon? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's been entirely direct-to-consumer, entirely Shopify for the most part. I've tested some of the other platforms, but it's tough to say no to Shopify.
Were you using Shopify way back when, when you first got started?
Yeah, it's changed a lot since then, but yes.
For sure. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that, any e-commerce brand owners, obviously it gets very competitive, besides that they're facing today in 2024?
Yeah, I think that cash flow is a really tough one. You know, e-commerce isn't a great business to invest in, really. You know, I don't see a lot of brands these days where I think it would be a good investment opportunity. It just doesn't make sense. But at the same time, you know, inventory is extremely tough. And, you know, inventory turn times, I've got, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of inventory sitting in a warehouse right now that's not, you know, selling. And it's like, hey, that really hurts because any profits that you did have, you know, that cash is gone out of pocket. So I'd say that's definitely the hardest part is that kind of cash flow, inventory management, you know, understanding your turn times, all of that. And then finding unique ways to be flexible with your cash where it's, you know, whatever terms you get from your, you know, suppliers or partners, making sure those are good, making sure, you know, you're moving cash around the right way is extremely important, especially, you know, if you want to be in it for the long term, because at the end of the day, even if they don't admit it, any brand owner these days has gone through a time where they're very cash strapped, where they probably thought that their business was going to end and fail. And the way that they got through it, you know, is that resiliency, you know, kind of understanding which credit card to use when, you know, which bank account to use when, you know, how do we stretch this money? How do we move things around to get by during the hard times?
For sure. But I guess like if somebody was starting out today, are there certain product lines that you would say to avoid or that you would recommend for someone to go for just compared to others?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough. I've been in the apparel and soft goods space pretty heavily, and it is not a great industry to be in. It's hard when it's often a one-time purchase. It's great when you have a, you know, a consumable, but at the end of the day, you know, everyone wants to make a consumable. Everyone wants to make a drink or, you know, a gummy or whatever it might be. It's great because you can get that subscription revenue and really kind of bolster your business and at least have an idea of demands based on your subscriptions. But again, you know, that's also a space that's being flooded. So it's pick your battles.
So I guess like as of now, you mentioned, so are you currently running any brand or really just focusing more on consulting?
Yeah, I have a couple that I sunset back in 2021, around the time that I sold some others. I'm bringing a couple of those back. I have inventory that's been around, you know, still good inventory. It's all boxed up. Going to bring those back and those will be great, but it's not necessarily going to, they're not going to put up numbers that will turn heads, but it's difficult because even, you know, consulting and in agency life, I find very difficult because it's, you know, not your business. You at the end of the day have to, you know, listen to the wants and needs of those people. And it's very tough to make sure you stay within scope and make sure that it's a great relationship for everyone.
For sure. So obviously now in 2024, most companies are using AI in some capacity. So where do you feel like AI adds value for e-commerce brands specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great starting point for me with a lot of projects. I'm not of the mindset that AI is going to, you know, put me or some people that I work with out of jobs, at least for the moment. But it is great from the standpoint of, you know, getting initial copy and content and ideas through the door, you know, asking questions that are a little bit more intuitive or pointed than something that you'd just find day to day. And a lot of those, you know, you can build out copy and then get ideas and then go off and, you know, build your own copy that's from human. You know, I don't go to ChatGPT and find copy that I'm like, hey, this is lights out, but it provides a lot of ideas and groundwork that I wouldn't otherwise think of myself. And
for sure.
On top of that, you know, I love asking ChatGPT just some ridiculous questions to it. It really helps me with that time management and a bunch of other facets of my life. But at the end of the day, that trickles down to my business as well.
That's awesome. So, I mean, what about AI for like chat, like AI chatbots, things like that?
Yeah. So I've actually been big in the chatbot space. I got pretty heavily into building some chatbots back in like 2016, 2017. And it helped with my e-commerce brands a lot. I think it's great. My fear there is that there's a trust needed in the technology, but that, you know, goes with anyone. Even if you hire a customer service agent or a live chat agent, you know, you're going to have the same problems. But I think it is great from the standpoint that, you know, hey, if you want your customers to have easy outlets to be able to get answers to pretty basic questions as well too. You know, hey, where's my order? Where's this? You know, what's happening with this discount code? Just questions like that, I find that bogs down a lot of business owners. And, you know, some brands that I'll consult with, they're sitting in their customer service email answering these questions that are just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm like, hey guys, your focus as business owners should be on, you know, focusing on your brand and what has gotten you to this point, not being in, you know, customer service answering these mundane questions that really any person could answer, or, you know, AI for that matter.
Right, exactly. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you got started in your e-com career?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not easy, and to be extremely resilient. We're in the age of, you know, kind of that flexer, you know, flash things on Instagram and kind of trick people into thinking that you live this life that's really not true. I don't think e-commerce has ever really been crazy glamorous. You know, people aren't on private jets for the moment because of e-commerce, and that's fine by me. But I think where a lot of people fall off is they don't have resiliency to kind of keep their head down when things go poorly. I find that a lot of people quit, and there's a lot to be found on the other side if you don't quit. And then, you know, at the end of the day, if you're passionate and there's a market there, it probably will work out. But sometimes there's, you know, there's going to be those rocky times. There's going to be some struggles, and it's important to be really resilient and consistent as well too.
100% agree. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for yourself and for your business?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I honestly have no clue. You know, the consulting aspect of things has gotten, you know, a little bit dry. Mm-hmm. It's very hard, you know, when you have a client asking ridiculous questions on a Saturday at 10. I'm also a workaholic, so I'm the type of person to respond to those. But I also realize at the same time, you know, I need some good work-life balance. So I find, you know, the consulting or agency space to be tough because of that. And at the end of the day, it's not your own business. So it's tough to get as excited, you know, when it's not your baby. I'd love to build some brands, but like I mentioned, you know, it's not glamorous. I don't necessarily have the brands that I can say today, hey, I'm really passionate about this niche or this brand or this product. You know, I want to build this into, you know, a multi-million-dollar company that lasts a lifetime. I would like to find that, but I don't know if it's out there. But I've kind of found some comfort in uncertainty where life is pretty good. I know that I might not have that project that I'm super passionate about today, but I know that it's going to come, you know, down the road. And I've built multi-million dollar brands, you know, multiple times. So I know I have that capability. It's just a matter of kind of letting things play out and finding that passion.
Makes sense. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact?
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter a decent amount. SEO 3Ts Atwood. So that's Scott with one extra T Atwood. I'm on Twitter a decent amount. I've been trying to check DMs, but I get a ton of the classic spam, you know, landing page. Hey, you want me to build a landing page? Yeah. Website. I've been hesitant to build a consulting website. I actually get all of my consulting clients through referral, which people think is crazy, but I've never gone out and tried to seek a new client ever. I've thought about building a site. I have one, Next Wave Media, except it's NXT, WVEmedia.com. Going to build a site there, but really not push it too heavily. But Twitter is definitely the best place. My Instagram is the same, and I check my Instagram a decent amount. Used to run a decent amount of ads through my Instagram, so I'm always on there checking direct messages.
Awesome. Well, Scott, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. All right. Bye.